Turn with me to the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. If you know the book of Hebrews much or have read it much, you will recognize this as what many people call the faith chapter. The faith chapter. A while ago when we were in our study in Exodus, at the close of it, I mentioned this faith that God gives us. This faith, which is belief, this confidence, this faith. And I said that belief is not just an act or something that we do, but it actually is a condition of the heart. It's a condition of the heart. And so I want to read a verse here in Hebrews chapter 11, and we want to talk about it some. Hebrews 11. Just to get a feel for this chapter, I'll begin in verse 1. Our text is going to be in verse 6. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Remember, we already talked about Abel's sacrifice and Cain's sacrifice this morning. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The 11th chapter of Hebrews goes on from this point, and it says, by faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. On and on, by faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of strangers. All of these things, the writer of the book of Hebrews attributes to faith in God. By faith. Even mentions that Sarah conceived. Remember, she was barren, way past childbearing years. Yet the writer here attributes it in verse 11, Hebrews 11:11. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. So all of these things that we might call these great patriarchs of the Old Testament accomplished, all of these things that they did was attributed to faith. All of it. Every bit of it. We talk about the patience of Job, and it's incredible. You read the book of Job, how patient he was. But Job was patient because he had faith in God to get him through anything. And he did. He got him through the worst things we could think of that could happen to us. The Lord delivered Job through these things. By faith. We read that by faith Abel brought his sacrifice. By faith. What was his faith in? Well, what was his sacrifice? Cain and Abel both brought a sacrifice to God. But one of them was accepted and one wasn't. So what was his faith in? Well, it wasn't in the animal that he brought. We know by reading in Leviticus this morning that this animal truly represented the Son of God. because it was a male without spot or blemish, remember? So what was Abel's faith in? And I want to tell you that Abel's faith was in an act, something that someone did. Although in Abel's lifetime, it hadn't been done yet. And that act is what Jesus Christ did when he came to the earth. That act was when he gave his perfect life for you and for me. Well, how did Abel know about that? By the revelation of God, that's how. The same way Adam and Eve knew about it. And these were their boys, so they certainly taught them what they had learned. They knew all about the Garden of Eden and what happened. I mean, it was their mom and dad. Of course, they knew all about it. There was a difference here between Abel's sacrifice and Cain's sacrifice. Abel sacrificed by faith. We said that belief was more than just an act. It was actually a condition of the heart. And here, Abel displays the condition of his heart by trusting in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for his salvation. It's plain, isn't it? It is. It's plain. By faith. So we're going to look at this word faith a little bit this morning. Now we could go to the other side and say that Cain did not bring his sacrifice by faith. Nor did he do it in the prescribed way that the Lord, through Adam, had directed him. They had been raised in the knowledge of the Lord. However, Cain revealed the condition of his heart when he brought the sacrifice to God. Cain, like the natural man, like us before we're changed by God, was proud of what he had done. And he wanted to bring it to God and show it to God as a sacrifice. I'm sacrificing what I grew in the ground. What was he showing faith in? He was showing faith in something that he had done. Something that he had planted, tilled, fertilized, watered, cared for and loved and raised. That's where his faith was. And it was misplaced. It was the pride of man that Cain displayed when he brought his sacrifice unto the Lord. It was. But we see Abel's faith in a deliverer to come. But God's promises and God's plans are so positive and so sure that they're going to happen the way he planned, that Abel was saved by grace through faith by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, just like you are. Even though it pointed forward to this act, I said that he displayed faith in an act, and he did, but not his act, but the act of the Son of God to come at that point. Same is true for us. When we lean on God, when we trust in him and own his word as our own and live by it, we are displaying a condition of our hearts, a condition that God has created in us. See how God really is in control of everything? We say that a lot. But as we study in his word, we see how it has always been that way. how it is that way, that he's in control, and how it always will be that way. He really is God, one over all. He's in control of all these things. Now, I want to look at faith this morning for a few minutes in three different degrees, or three different points. Faith, number one, comes in knowledge. We have to know about the Lord in order to believe in Him. So the first thing, the first element, if you will, of faith is knowledge. Knowledge. There must be some degree of knowledge before there can be faith. Now again, Cain and Abel were raised by Adam and Eve. So certainly they had a knowledge of God. Abel had faith in that God and in that God's plan to save him from what he had inherited from his mom and dad. We inherited it too, but he was right there. He was right there. Inherited it from his mom and dad, and he knew that he was lost and undone. He knew all about Adam and Eve, his mom and dad, walking with God in the garden. He knew he didn't have that. He knew he was dead in his trespasses and sins. He knew he was separated. You know, all his life, he had heard his parents talk about walking with God in the garden. But he knew that he was separated. How do we know about Jesus Christ? Well, again, we have God in control of this thing we call salvation. God's in control of it. He really, truly is. And so, he has started this thing that we call preaching. The Bible also calls it the foolishness of preaching. It seemed foolish unto Cain, I'm sure, to watch Abel bring a small little innocent animal and cut its throat and sacrifice it to the Lord. It seemed like foolishness. Why? Because of the condition of his heart. You see, he didn't have that faith in Jesus Christ. He had faith in himself and what he was able to do and accomplish and create, if you will, to grow. So the condition of the heart and the knowledge of that comes from the foolishness of preaching. God could have given us this knowledge in any way he wanted to, other than preaching. But again, he's in control. And that is the means that he has chosen to use. And it's always been that way. It's always been that way. God has saved sinners in the Old Testament all the way back here, just outside the Garden of Eden. The exact same way that he saves people this very day. The faith in the act and the sacrifice that Jesus Christ did and made for me and for you on the cross. It's the same. It's exactly the same. There must be this knowledge. We must know the Lord before we can believe Him. We must know of Him. We must know about Him. A lot of people may and do jump up and say, I'm a believer, I believe. And then you ask them, well, what do you believe? Well, they might say, well, I believe what the church believes. Or they might say, well, I believe there's a God. But we must know. We must know Jesus Christ. I quoted earlier Romans 1:16-17 there, part of it anyway, where it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it," the gospel of Jesus Christ, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Everyone that believes. To the Jew first, also to the Greek. And then it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." So this gospel, the gospel that we preach of Jesus Christ, what He did for us, it is God's strength. It is God's energy. It is God's power towards something. Unto, the word unto there means toward, bringing into, and this thing that we're talking about this morning of salvation. The power of God unto salvation is this gospel. When we believe. When we believe it. We must know what we believe. Second is this thing called assent. Assent. A-S-S-E-N-T. And assent must go with faith. Knowledge was first. Now assent. And assent basically means it's something that we agree with. We agree with this. And we agree that it is certainly the word, the truth from God. And so we hear about the truth. We learn about it. We learn about Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. And then we agree that it is God's way of saving us. We agree to that. That's second. It's one thing to read the Scriptures and understand them. But as we do understand them, in this conditioned heart, this belief, remember we said belief is not just an act, it's a condition of your heart, then this Word of God enters into the deepest part of our souls and our minds and our hearts. And it lives there. Remember what we said about the Holy Spirit of God when He saves us? He enters us. He lives in you. That's the driving force behind your belief. It's the Spirit of God, the presence of God. Remember the parable of the sower that the Lord gave us. Some seed fell on good ground. Remember that? We talked about where did good ground come from? And after looking at the ground in the Garden of Eden where there was no sin, after looking at the ground where Moses stood at the burning bush and God said, "Take your shoes off because you're standing on holy ground," we came to the right conclusion that good ground exists in the presence of God. Remember that? In the presence of God. And so the seed of God's Word that you have come into a knowledge of, you've learned it, you've heard it, you have agreed to it, that it is the Word of God, it is able to grow in you into a new life. Because it's on good ground. It's on good ground. And that's something. Assent was the second thing. Now the third thing is what's called an affiance. What this means is, okay, we've learned about the gospel. We've believed it And we've agreed that that's what this is, a saving gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation. And then we rest on it for ourselves. We rest on it. We stop worrying about what we're going to do to be accepted by God. And we rest on what He's already done. That's what Abel was doing. Abel realized there was nothing he could do to bridge this gap we talked about earlier between heaven and earth, between God and man. But he rested on what that little animal sacrificed to God represented. And that was that great act of salvation and mercy and grace that Jesus Christ did for you. And he did for me. And so we rest on it for our salvation. It's one thing that to believe that Jesus is a Savior. One thing to believe that God is God. But it's something else to rest on Him as your Savior. To rest on what He did. That's what He wants us to do. That's how we please Him. Don't we want to please Him? We do. We do. We don't want to bring a reproach on Him. We don't want to say, think, or do anything that's going to bring a reproach on Him. We want to please Him because look what He's done for us. Look how much He loves us. And the way we please Him is with all of our hearts and souls and minds, we rest on what His Son did on the cross. That's it right there. That is saving faith. And it's not an act that we do, but it's a condition of the heart given and brought to us by the Holy Spirit of God when He saves us on the basis of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. Oh, let's not neglect so great a salvation. Let's be mindful of it all the time. Remember, Jesus loves you so much that there is nothing in heaven, nothing on earth, nothing that was ever created or ever will be created, including Satan and all his fallen angels, nothing can separate you from His love. Nothing. Oh, I hope we're resting on that today. Resting on what God has done for us. His righteousness is revealed in the gospel, you see. That's important. Because we don't have any of our own. The Bible tells us the best we can do, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Oh, but we have a righteousness in Jesus Christ. That we would trust and rely on Him. Oh, what a Savior we have today. What a Savior. Any other word? If not, let's go to Him in prayer. Our Father and our God, we are thankful for each one here today. We are thankful for Your Word. Father, we ask that You would nourish us. That You would strengthen us spiritually, for we are so greatly in need of You. Forgive us for our sins. Help us, Lord, to lean on You, not just in what we see as the big things in our life, but on all the little things, that we would rest on You, knowing, Father, that nothing can separate us from Your love. Father, be with those who stand up to proclaim Your gospel today all over this world. Would You keep them safe? Lord, we trust in You and Your promise that Your word will go forth, and that souls will be saved through the foolishness of preaching that You have designed to save souls. In Jesus' name, amen.